Normally won't be, usually I'm here on Monday night, but I wasn't here yesterday, so I came in now, and it, very traffic, so I'm sorry for being late. We started this very remarkable little kuntras, which I intend on, with Hashem's help, to finish together with you, even if it takes us beyond Yontif a little bit, with the understanding that you're allowed to work on Shuvah after Rosh Hashanah too. No, I think you're allowed to work on a lot to work on. It's called Yama B'Tshuva. Our entire life is about trying to become better. This is a very, very clear and healthy country. So we started last week. We're up to page Beis on the bottom. The second, right on the bottom of page Beis, where it says, a hefer l'shanus zechah. We began with the Yerushalmi in Makkos. Very famous Yerushalmi, we were taught that really not only a piece svara, but according to Nevuah and according to Chochma, there's no way out for a person who has ruined his life. There's no way out. There's no way to fix. There's no way to change that which has already happened. There's no way to transform oneself and transform one's past. Therefore, the best thing that Nevuah could come up with, Chachma could come up with, were things like HaNefesh HaChaitis HiTofos, that what are you going to do? If a person did something, the person sinned, 1 second, then he has to leave this world. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response was the Chiddush of Yaseh Tshuva V'Yiskapu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechadish, this bria that's called tshuva. That means tzad etzem hametzias, as far as actual reality is concerned, tzad etzem hametzias. If a person has disengaged from the Creator, he's pulled out the plug. He's turned away from that relationship, so it's finished. In relationships, there is such a thing that relationships, some of the friends that you had growing up, are no longer your friends. This parasha, Kiseis, is the parasha that hasn't entered Sefer Krisis, from us and the other, that there's such a thing as a gap, there's a detachment, a disengagement. So, Al Pisvar, if a person turns his back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even Chochma Nevuah says that the life that he's living after that mered, after that rebellion, after that disengagement, is a life that was not, is a life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create us to live. It wasn't the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended for us. Therefore, in some way, with every chait, not just with a chait where a person's chayiv karis, not just the sin with its chayiv of karis, but with every chait, in some way, there's a certain, we learned last week, there's a certain midah of krisa, of cutting oneself off and becoming more and more distant. That's what we're talking about. Tshuva, therefore, means not just repairing the relationship. Tshuva, on a deeper level, means, and that's what we're going to be learning throughout this sefer, it means a new relationship, something new and something different. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what we're going to learn now. You said there's something.
Isn't tshuva mehava a complete transformation?
We're not going to go right now into tshuva mehava, tshuva mehava. Keep that on hold. That maybe further along we'll get into those distinctions. Let's just talk very pashut now. So let's continue. Ahechrech l'shanus esachayim. The bottom of page base. Zu anekuda rishayna elehat zarech losim leiv avodas tshuva. This is the first nekuda that we have to pay attention to in avoda of tshuva. Aleinu lakir shechayim b'li chayt. We have to begin by acknowledging, by trying to recognize this, that chayim b'li chayt, that life without chayt, heim chayim shayim b'tachlis, that a life that is without sin is chayim shayim b'tachlis, is a completely different life. Me'ilu shalachar chayt. From life, la'achra chayt. There's life before the chayt. probably every one of you, myself, we could remember at some point in time where we lost a certain kind of a tamimus, a certain innocence. Remember, there was once I was giving a shiur years ago in the mountains, and there was a very chash of a lady from a very chash of a family. So she came into the shiur and she was sobbing. So a person that was maybe, I'd say at that time was maybe 35, something like that, 38, and she was sobbing, and she wanted to talk to me. I said, "What's wrong?" And she was telling me that she was raised in a very beautiful family, and she was raised in a very pure environment. And she had a friend. Now everybody has a friend, the friend. So she had that friend who convinced her to go someplace and to see a certain movie. In those years, you had to go to a theater, but to go someplace. I remember I once went to one of those places when I was like 16 with a couple of guys. We went. It wasn't like a gotcha bit of nothing pornographic, but it was a little bit not nice. And we had to go all the way out to Ireland. We didn't want to be in Queens. We were afraid that anybody would, you know, we would get caught. So we went all the way to the Ireland. And then we met the rabbi in Reveson. They didn't see us. We saw them. So they also had the same idea, to go out to Comac to see a movie. Yes. So this woman said that she went with this friend. She went with his friend to the movie, and there was something really very not nice in the movie. And she was very pure. And she was crying to me. She says to me, "Rebbe, I'm whatever, almost 40, and I still can't get that out of my head, what I saw." At that time, I was like a teenager. I can't get that out of my head. And ever since then, she said, "I feel that there's something that I had, and I can't get it back. I lost it." An innocence that she feels that she's trying so badly to recover and to regain, and she says that she can't do it. So of course I told her that that's not true. That's not true. And the reason that's not true is because of what we're going to learn, because there's a chiddush of tshuva. It's not a matter of God forgiving a person. It's a matter of a person forgiving himself. Hashem forgives us much sooner than we forgive ourselves. Hashem gets over our inyanim much faster than we do. Much, much faster. In a split second, Hashem gets over our inyan. However, that doesn't mean that the inyan doesn't linger inside of us. Life before the chait, before the sin, and life after the sin, it's a different life. Taf page kimmel. Ha chait kogem de etzem amahus shel ha'adam. Chait. Sin. I'm not talking about a person who makes a mistake. Talking about serious chait. Serious chait is pogem be'etzem amahus shel ha'adam. It damages, it distorts the very essence of a human being. Distorts a human being. U'menatek osa me'akadosh baruch hu shu makor chiyuso. And it detaches him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the makor, is the source of our existence, of our life. But what was the first chait that ever took place in time? What was the first chait? The eighth? It's a das. That was the first chait. The way that took place was a person pulling a fruit from a tree. Whatever that fruit was, the different days, whatever that was, it wasn't an apple. But pulling that fruit from the tree, that nituk, that separation from the makor of life, pulling the fruit from its source of life, from its source of existence. In effect, every chait that's ever happened since then, every sin that's ever happened since then, on a deeper level, is the same thing. It means we're detaching ourselves from the source of our existence. We're distancing ourselves from the source of our existence. Now, when you pull something off of the tree, you can only manage for so long, until it dries, it withers. It's the same thing with us. At some point, you no longer care about what you're doing. It doesn't make a difference to you anymore, because you've been drying up and you're, God forbid, you're losing that. It's been so long since you were connected to the tree, that you don't remember anymore what it's like to feel that vitality, that freshness, the excitement of being connected to the tree. So he explains, with every chayt, there's a nituk, there's a separation, there's a detachment. Adam mesukan tzarech l'chavos chayim shel Torah mitzvos. A healthy, normal Jew was created to live a life of Torah-Mitzvahs. To feel a tremendous tam, to feel how delicious it is to daven. I'm just giving davening as an example. How delicious mitzvahs are. How many of us truly feel that way? You know that the Kedushas Levi, you heard the Baditshava, right? The Baditshava used to fast Yom Kippur 2 days. He didn't tell anybody else that they should do that, but he used to fast 2 days. It was fake of the year. I mean, he had his own cheshbon. He's a tzaddik. We don't imitate such a thing. But he fasted 2 days, not with a break in between. He fasted straight. Not only that, he davened all the tefillahs of Yom Kippur from the Amud. And if you know about the Baditshava, you know that he was jumping and running around. And they say that after Yom Kippur was over, when they were coming back from shul, now that moment after Yom Kippur, after Maariv, and the trip home, right? And when you walk into the house, it's like you never ate your whole life, right? So the Baditshava the whole way home, he was going, "Oh, is this going to be good? Oh, am I looking for this going to be good?" And everybody thought it's strange that they're always talking about like a Danish sandwich, whatever they're going to have. I don't know. And then they came back to the house and they made havdalah, and the Baditshava took out the Gemara Sukkah to begin to prepare for Sukkahs. He took out Masechet Sukkah and he began the Mishnah. He said, "Oh, this is delicious. This is Gishma." But we don't understand that. He didn't eat. He didn't eat for 2 days in a row. We don't know what that means. To feel it. You can enjoy a black tomorrow. But the tzaddikim that said, there's a machlokes, Rabbi Elazar ben Yehoshua's machlokes, by yontiv, is a kulo l'shem, kulo l'chem, chasi l'shem, chasi l'chem, right? You know the machlokes. Yontiv is supposed to be, are you supposed to spend yontiv involved either entirely in Torah and Tefillah? Or entirely in eating and resting, or chatzi l'shem, chatzi l'chem, half and half. So they say there was a certain tzaddik that after he finished davening, he says, "Now I finished the chatzi l'chem, and I have to go eat." That's the chatzi l'shem. That for him, the davening was l'chem. The davening was for me. The davening was the most delicious thing I could have. It's a very. We think of that as something which is beyond us. To mamish enjoy. To enjoy our mitzvahs, to enjoy, to look forward to putting on film. The Baditshava couldn't sleep. The Kedushas Levi couldn't sleep. And it was after Yontif, and it came because it was the night before putting on tefillin again. After the whole Yontif and the Chassidim don't put on chol moed either, the whole time, the whole week of not putting on tefillin, he couldn't sleep. The night before Isrucha, because he was all excited about putting on tefillin, he couldn't go to sleep. We fall asleep without tefillin. He couldn't go to sleep in anticipation of putting on the tefillin. The Baruch Shem created us in that way. In other words, we were set, we were programmed to enjoy, to delight in Torah mitzvahs, to have the greatest pleasure from learning. That's how we were programmed. There was a certain Rosh Hashiva that one of his talmidim came to him and said that he's not going to be able to stay in learning anymore because he's going to the family business. So this person was living in a little apartment and he was going to the family business. They were very well-to-do people and he was going to have a beautiful house and so on. And he said to the Rosh Hashiva, "But I'm a little bit worried, what's going to be with my Olam Haba? You know, if I'm not learning so much, what's going to be with my Olam Haba?" So the Rosh Hashiva said to him, "Forget about your Olam Haba. What kind of Olam Haza are you going to have?" See, here he's moving from a little apartment to a mansion with a swimming pool and a tennis court, and the Rosh Hashiva's worried. But if you're not learning all day, how are you going to enjoy yourself? So it's a sad story, because we're all thinking, we'll do fine. We'll be fine. We'll be just fine. He's leaving his little apartment in Lakewood or something, and he's going to have a beautiful big home in Muncie, with some nice, or somewhere else, with some nice land, and so on. He'll be fine. The Rashiva honestly was saying that. "I'm not worried about your Olam Haba. You'll have an Olam Haba. You're an El Chayit. But what about your Olam Haba? What kind of Olam Haza are you going to have leaving this marriage?" Can we think that way? But that's the way we were programmed. We were programmed to enjoy. And what happens is, he says, "Other mesukan tzarich lechavos chayim shel Torah mitzvahs." In a healthy state, we would experience our Torah mitzvahs. We would mamash live our Torah mitzvahs, like the fruit that's connected to the tree, where it's exciting, it's new, it's fresh. Lahargish Tamsha Ruchnias. We would feel a tremendous taste in our Ruchnias. The Lisloy Mishkiya Badamazah, and we would recoil from becoming immersed in this world. We would run away from things that are disgusting. Not even things that are disgusting, just from becoming fixated with this world. We would run away from it. We would have tremendous pleasure with our learning and with our davening from the depths of our heart. And we would naturally turn away. But in the meantime, it's a struggle for each and every one of us to try not to speak Lashon Hara, to try not to speak Rechilas. We try so hard. But you know that when you hear something, when you say something, there's a certain gishmak that it has. And holding back, we feel, is painful. It's so hard to hold back from saying Lashon Hara. Sometimes it feels like it hurts. You have something you know you can say. It's like at Mamish, I can drop a bomb at the Shabbos table. And everybody's going to just like, you know, the kugel will fall out of their mouths. And when you hear this, you have such a fleshig Lashon Hara. And you want to say, because they said, especially if they said something like chashuv about some person, and you know that that person's so not chashuv, you know, because you have, like, you have the goods on them, and you just sit there. It's very, very hard, and you try to think of the Chavos Chaim's face, you know, even though he didn't really look like that in the picture. You try to think of the Chavos Chaim's face, and it's very, very hard. It's very hard. You feel a certain bitterness being God-fearing Jews. There's a certain bitterness. That's not how it was meant to be. It wasn't meant to be that way. It wasn't meant to be that way. It's very sad. Because there are many Jews who are officially Shomer Mitzvos, but they're just doing it just to guard the tzura of being Jewish, just to of being Orthodox, as they belong to the club. They don't want to lose their standing in the club. But davening, to come late to davening, if they go b'chlal to shul, and then they just try to go through davening, and they're a little to chapa shmuz. When it comes to mitzvah, now we're going to have everything is to be the yontov coming up. So everybody's already krechzing. I heard the first krechz yesterday from somebody. Like, what am I going to do? It's 3 days. Everything is 3 days. They're looking at the calendar. 3 days. Like, why did God curse us with this? 3 days. Because he can't put on his, you know, his head and shoulders with the condition. You know, he can't put it on for an egg. What's going to be with me? My hair's going to be oiled. I'm not talking about a girl. I'm talking about a guy. A guy. It's going to be a problem. He can't take a shower. He's already asking me a shower. He's asking. He's nervous now about Yontif. Wants to take a shower one day. So why don't you just take a shower today? You have to talk to me about what's going to be in a month from now about taking a shower. He's already nervous. It's 3 day Yontif. The women are ready. The women are already fretting. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? They didn't make any hotel getaway. They could afford to go for a shomer. Keep it to go away for the hotel or something. It wasn't meant to be that way. The Baruch Hashem didn't give us Torah Mitzvahs to torture us. Torah Mitzvahs is the first sentence of Mitzvah Shem, is L'sa'aneg al Hashem. The Baruch Hashem gave us himself that we should enjoy. It should be the biggest pleasure in the world to be a Jew. There's so many of us, even though we keep it, there's so many of us that we just don't feel the excitement of it. That's not how it was supposed to be. To feel the time, to feel the joy and the pleasure of it. I will only show you the gamri b'masav shachay. Now what happens is that once a person eats from the Eitz HaDaas Tov HaRa, once you eat from that tree, it's very, very hard. Like that woman that was telling me after she saw the movie. Once you eat from the tree, once you grab that fruit and you rip it off from the tree, when you do that, you're ripping yourself away from the source of life. We're stuck. We're immersed in this state of chay. Anachnu mizdahim hizdahus muchletes. Who knows what that means? What does it mean, mizdahim hizdahu? What does it mean, mizdahim? You know what that means? What does it mean in Hebrew, zehut? None of you have ordinary shoulders. There's a tudat zehut. You know what that means?
Passport.
No, passport's a darkon.
Identification.
Identity papers, and I said, so maybe not anymore, but when I was a kid, they would stop you in the street, you had to show papers like you're living in a communist country. Or if you want to get something in the bank, you have to first show your tudat zehut. You have to show your identity, who you are. So the problem is, anachnu mizdahim hizdahut muchletes im ha'ilma chomri she'ofif osam. We identify ourselves completely with the physical world that surrounds us. We identify with that world. Listen for a second, Chevron, and tell me if this is not true. Soon there's going to be slichus. So Svardim already start to say slichus. You know, the whole month. They're very serious about religion. They're saying it already the whole month. They start saying it early. They say the whole month. So you know, when it's time to get up for slichus, right now in Yeshiva slichus, but it's 10 minutes earlier now. But if you get up for slichus like at 5 o'clock, like the Svardim, 5 o'clock, 5:30, the way that all Jews do that to get up very early for slichus, or if you have to get up even an hour midrashim now. When it comes to doing something like that, there's a voice inside of your head that says, you have to get up for slichus. You really should get up for slichus. It's like a little thing. It's just, you know, you're from, or the people in shul are going to be looking for you. You have to get up for slichus. But when you have like your favorite food on earth and you haven't had it in a week or two or three, you never think of it like, you should really have that milkshake. It's always, I want that milkshake. Nachon? It's always the first person. It's interesting. When it comes to things that you identify with, it's always capital I. I want this. Because you identify with it. When it's something that you don't really identify with it, in your head it plays itself out like, you know, you really should do that. Or sometimes, let's say you go crazy and you lose your temper and you're really embarrassed and you're thinking, like, you know, that wasn't me. You really shouldn't have done that. Instead of just saying, that's 100% me. I screamed like a lunatic. I need to apologize. Not, you really should apologize to yourself. There are things in life that you identify with, and there are other things in life that we feel distant from. So the problem is, when it comes to our ruchnius, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, it's very often it's in the third, our Yiddishkeit is third person Yiddishkeit. You really should put on tefillin. You really should go to the sukkah. You really should learn. You really should put more effort into your learning this year. That's how we think of ourselves. We don't identify with it. We see it as something outside of ourselves. The worst thing is when a person is in a marriage and he doesn't identify with that person. It might be he's a good husband. He's a good husband. Takes care of his family. He's a good husband. But he doesn't identify with the person. So what he's saying here is, our problem is, We define ourselves. We identify ourselves by the physical world that surrounds us. To the point that to even imagine a life without eating, or without drinking, the shayat tanuga sa'ilim and other pleasures of the world, it's like a life without any time. You have people nowadays that walk into shul in the morning with these big things of coffee. They come to shul with coffee. They can't even think of, right, there are physical addictions that come with caffeine and so on, but to even think of a day without certain tanugi, without certain pleasures, it's very, very hard for us. It's very hard for us to think that way. Because we identify with those pleasures that we have. Even if they're not, God forbid, aveiros. But we identify with those pleasures. And life without those pleasures, what do you think of them? There's a guy that I remember when I was first married, I davened in a certain place in Queens, and there was a guy that was beaten up by a bunch of goyim. He was terribly beaten by a bunch of goyim. And they punched him so badly, I don't know how this happened. He now lives in the Five Towns. I see him once in a while. They punched him so badly that he lost his ability to taste food. Since that happened, which is already almost 30 years ago, he's never tasted anything that he's eaten. Something they did to him. And he had operations. He can't taste anything that he eats. Try to think about it. What kind of a life that is. First of all, he's very, very skinny. He was skinny to begin with. But he doesn't taste anything that he eats. Shabbos, Yaltiv, during the week. Prime grill. I don't know where the best Milchik's place is. Carlos and Gabi. I don't know which that place is. I don't eat Milchik, so I'm not sure which of the Milchik's places. They're probably much fancier places. I don't know those fancy places. You can't taste anything. You can't taste anything. The fanciest place I went to, our youngest daughter graduated high school in June. She was valedictorian. We wanted to have, anyway, it's time to take him out. So we had this, somebody gave me this gift certificate once. I gave a shiur because I didn't ask for anything. But they sent me a gift certificate to, I don't remember the name, I'm sure you know the name, Manhattan, some fancy, fancy restaurant. And they gave a gift certificate for $200. I thought for $200, I'm going to bring home for everybody, you know what I mean? I thought $200, how much can a Jew eat? I thought I was going to bring home for everybody, for the other kids, you know, for my married kids, I was going to bring home for grandchildren. I said, I look at this menu, and I see, but you know, but I had this gift certificate, just myself, my wife, and Shiffy. So I went to this place, and I said to my wife, this is crazy, I don't know. My wife says, just take it easy. She says, we have the gift certificate, so just make a cheshbon, and not to go over 200, which wasn't so posh, just for three people. It wasn't so posh. So I'm the only guy, there's probably a lot of rich people, I'm the only one that's sitting there making a cheshbon, you know. And then if you add tax, man, I gotta get paid. So I'm making this whole cheshbon of like, how am I gonna keep it into the. I was willing to go like $10 over, but to keep it in the $200 range, just for three people. And then, so, the truth is, I enjoyed going to Delhi more. I didn't really enjoy it so much as that. You know, the fancier the place, the less food. You know. Anyway, so we finished. And I'm waiting for the waiter to come, and I said to my wife, I don't know, I'm not sure this is going to work, this certificate, whatever doesn't work. So I'm getting nervous about this, that I have to eat for $200. So sure enough, the guy comes, and my wife gives me the certificate, and he says, oh no, I'm sorry, I can't handle that. So I knew it was going to happen. I said to my wife before, I said, there's too much of a taiva to go to. She said, let's just do it, it's nice, what is it bothering, we'll go for shifty, it's nice. I felt it's like too much of a time to go to drive to the city to get food. We have to drive to Manhattan to get supper. But she said, let's stop and go for shifty. And then the guy said, it's no good. So I was already Macabre. Because I was Macabre, but I was curious, like, why isn't that good? I said, this is a restaurant, no? So they said, there are two branches of that restaurant. And this is the other one in Brooklyn. I said, what are you kidding? What's the difference? Brooklyn. No. This does not work. Doesn't work. In the end, it was all right. My wife took care of it. See, we had to get the person to call, whatever. You know, they gave it to us. They wrote it or something. But I was looking at this. I'm thinking to myself, there are people sitting here eating. Three of us. I got the cheapest stuff on the menu, and it came to $200. So I said, what's it like for a person? For a person who can't taste anything that he eats, what would life be like? Try to imagine what that's like. It's terrible. It's terrible. You can't imagine what it would be like because we identify with those diets. We identify with those diets. And life would seem to us to be without any time, without it. But what is it? Could you imagine the day? What would a day be like if you didn't learn on that day? Could you imagine that? You'd survive, no? Could manage. You could imagine such a day without learning. Therefore, when we come to begin our avodah, we begin to think about tshuva, about returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
We have to begin to think, to take to heart, ad kama hachayim shalom rechaykim mishaychus and kedusha.
How far we've drifted. How far we've drifted from a life of kedusha.
Liros ad kama hestaklus shalom al ha'olam mishitchis uredudah.
To acknowledge how our entire way of looking at life is so superficial, so shallow. That our whole geshmak in life comes, our whole pleasure and enjoyment in life comes from very, very base physical things. Our whole chiyus, our whole pleasure in life, we draw from dvar gashmi, from physical things.
Only if we understand this and we begin to think about this,
Can we begin to seek a different way, a new way? Not a way that's going to mean that we can't go out to eat, not that we can't have anything that we enjoy, but to learn a way, to find a way, where our Yiddishkeit is not only a matter of obligations and responsibilities, but that our Yiddishkeit, that when we learn a Gemara, it has a Gishmak, that when we put on tefillin, when we daven, that we feel a deep, intense pleasure in doing that. To become reattached, reconnected to the source of pure life, and to live true ruchniyistik lives. All being in this world, page down. If you look carefully at the beginning of Shari Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yoina, you're in the Chayecha, you'll see clearly, Rabbeinu Yoina begins the work of Tshuva with Charata. Charata, of course, means regret. Shihakara. Now, what is it? What is the lashon that Rabbeinu Yoina uses? Remember this lashon. This is one of those things that need to be kept on file. The way Rabbeinu Yoina words it is like this: Eich echlafti oilam choylif oilam oimed laad laolam. Let's try to translate that. Eich echlafti. No, what does it mean? Echlafti. Switched, exchanged, right? How I exchanged. Eich echlafti ba'olam choylif. What does it mean in Olam Choleif? From the same word as a Chlashbi. A world that is constantly, a world that disappears, a world that is going to change. That's this world. This world is an Olam Choleif. It's an Olam Choleif. Olam Oimei, La'ad La'olam. In other words, there's any time that you and I do something we're not supposed to do, any time we do a chait, we're making, whether it's a conscious or an unconscious decision, to take the Olam Choleif, to take a world which is temporary, a world which is Choleif, a world which is just here for a few years, the years that we're in this world, to take that Olam Choleif and to give it priority over the Olam HaOmeid, the world that is Omeid La'ad La'olam, the world that is forever and ever, that which is forever and ever. To take a moment's pleasure instead of eternal pleasure. That's the decision, whether we make it consciously or subconsciously. That's what's going on when we commit a chay. We live in an olam chaleif. It makes no difference how old you are. We live in the olam chaleif. This is a world that goes very, very quickly. Goes very quickly. There was somebody from the shul that asked me would I want to come and play. The guys are playing some basketball. But I want to join them to play basketball. No, there wasn't a shul, it was in the bungalow in the mountains. He asked me, would I come to play some basketball? I said, I haven't played basketball in like 15 years. I used to be a pretty good ball player. I haven't played in like 15, 20 years. So he said, no, you'll enjoy it. So I tried to tell him that just going up the stairs, lady, has been a big challenge. You know, I love playing ball. But I remember like when that switched. It happened in the mountains years ago, and it was a 3-on-3 game. There were a couple of young guys from the bungalow, and a couple of the fathers and grandfathers, the older guys. And one of the young guys pointed to his friend and said, instead about me, you take the old guy. He said, you take the old guy. And I looked. I became an old guy. I see myself as being on the court. That sticks out in my mind, like when things are beginning to go the other direction. And then there was like 2 or 3 years after that, we would always have Lag BaOmer time, we had a softball game from the shul. And I always played either center field or left field, that's where when I was growing up, I always played the outfield. And there was a ball that was hit. And like I saw this coming, and I said, it's not a big deal, I don't have to run or anything. It's like, you know, I can try to overget it. So I'm taking my time to get to this fly ball. And then it's just like, I just went on the ground. I don't know what happened, because then I saw, you know, it's coming, I better get moving. Because I wanted to, like, just, you know, like, be chilled. You know what I mean? Just like, walk over to this fly ball, just grab it. So I'm taking my time, and then the thing already made its descent, you know? And then I start to take off. I got to get this. This is going to be very bad. This is like a high fly. There wasn't a line drive. This is going to be very embarrassing. I got my kids, my, you know, they're watching. This is very bad. My wife might have been there, too. I don't remember. And then I just I just took off with all my kites. And the ball just plopped in. And like, you know, it's okay, Rabbi, it's okay, Rabbi. It's okay. I felt like I turned this corner in my life. I'm just not young anymore. I'm not young anymore. In my head, I'm still 30. I was still 30 years old. And to catch that bull is a joke. It's nothing. But my body's already almost 60, believe it or not. And it didn't happen. It's such an olam choleif, Rabbi Yosei. You know, you don't hear that when you're young. And I don't want to say something that I didn't like hearing when I was young. Like when some old geezer gets up and tells you, boys, it's going to go so quickly. I hate that stuff. So I don't want to say it, but I am saying it, I guess. Rabbi Yonah is saying it. Rabbi Yonah is saying it. It's in a split second. It's in a split second. I was telling you about my daughter that graduated Shifi. I'm sitting there the whole time. What do you think I'm thinking about in graduation? That it was a split second from the time that we brought her home. It was a split second. I know it sounds corny, it sounds goofy, but that's how it is. It moves slower now a little bit, but then it starts to accelerate. For whatever reason, that is. It's not thought about it. But the bottom line is, every decision we make in life, when it comes to our Avodas Hashem, it always boils down to these words of Rabbi Yonah. What did I do? The regret over a sin is, how did I opt? How did I choose a fleeting, temporary, momentary world and give up something that is a world that is forever, that's la'olam, that's forever and ever? That's the beginning of charata. That's the beginning of that feeling of tshuva. Remember I spoke a little bit, I mentioned last week, where I said tshuva, where it's not that there's a specific hate necessarily. It's just that my whole life, I've somehow, something happened to me where I gave up something big, 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 something real, something permanent, for something small, stupid, and temporary. That's the beginning, that's the first heart gush of opening up to change. I miss Shema continue. Try and hopefully next week we can start at 9, 5 after 9 day rush. Just go.